بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله. الله give us توفيق to learn more about the صحابة رضي الله عنهم and more about our deen. When we learn about صحابة رضي الله عنهم, we are actually learning deen because it is them who preserved deen in its pure pristine form. And certainly were it not for them we would not be people of deen or affiliated to deen in any way today. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhu made effort on the whole of humanity so that deen remains preserved and pure as they received it from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted it to remain like that till Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them and protected them, and Allah guaranteed them Jannah. We are learning in this sessions how Sahaba made fikr and worry that deen must remain in their family members as well. How couples would make effort of iman, how they would make effort on their children, because certainly this is something we need in today's times, my respected believers, my respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where our children from tender ages, from young ages, sadly one of the main causes is the gadgets we make available to them from such young ages, these gadgets that actually make them sell their iman, that puts them into such confusion from a very tender age. And we take pride over that, that already these children are so sharp, see what they can do. But actually, what is being portrayed to them, what is being presented to them in our absence, when we are in our rooms, whilst they are in their rooms, whilst they are in their privacies, sometimes even playing something that we think is so innocent like a game, during that time, what advertisements come about, how incorrect ethos and beliefs and practices that are Satanism, tantamount to shaitaniya, is being indoctrinated to our children. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would make effort of iman. A great Sahabi, Hazrat Yaman, Al-Yaman bin Jabir radiallahu anhu. His name was Husayl. Husayl bin Jabir bin Amr Al-Absi. Al-Absi is his tribe name. They originally come from Yemen. His appellation, his laqab, what he was known by, is the name Yaman. Yaman means blessings. Yaman means, barakah and blessings. And he was actually known by that name Yaman, because yes, he moved to Medina Munawwara, but his people called him Yaman because he actually came to Yemen, because he was an ally of the Ansar. And yes, certainly the Ansar are originally from Yemen. So another reason why he was known by the name Yaman, because that was also an appellation of his forefather Jirwa bin Harith Absi. Ibn Qutaybah rahimahullah mentions in his Ma'arif that he comes from the Banu Abs people, and he was known to be from the Banu Abdil Ashhal, the Medina Munawwara people. They originally come from Abs. And then he mentions that from the Banu Abs, 10 people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'ashiruhum al-Yaman, the 10th or one of them was al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu. When he came, he wedded Hazrat al-Rabab binti Ka'b Awsiya Ansariya radiyallahu anha. So he wedded al-Rabab radiyallahu anha, and the couple, Allah blessed them with children, and their children were famous. We learn in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the closest of Sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yes, all the Sahaba had this special connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But among them was Hazrat Hudhaifa. Hazrat Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu's name, Hudhaifa bin Yaman, a very great Sahabi. Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu's son, Hudhaifa. Another son of theirs was Sa'ad, Safwan, Mudlaj. And their daughter was Layla, radiyallahu anhum wa anhun. Other daughters of Yaman, radiyallahu anhu, was famously Khawla bintil Yaman, radiyallahu anha, Fatima bintil Yaman, radiyallahu anha. And amongst these sahabiyat, meaning the sisters of Hazrat Hudhaifa bin Yaman, radiyallahu anhu, narrate many beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among the ahadith that the daughters of Yaman, radiyallahu anha, narrate, Yaman radiallahu anhu narrate, is the famous hadith wherein Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned women, when they gather, they should make sure they speak what is right And they should not just start speaking and blabbing. فَإِنَّهُنَّ إِذَا اجْتَمَعْنَا قُلْنَا وَقُلْنَا. It mustn't be that women gather and they just start speaking about the faults of others and looking down upon others. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in this hadith that is narrated to us via Khawla radiallahu anha, the sister of Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and the daughter of Yaman radiallahu anha, warning women folk that women folk should be careful when they gather. They should make sure that they protect their tongues. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And yes, men folk as well, all of us need to preserve and protect our tongues. Because in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything a person says, alayhi la lahu, is used against him, not for him. Illa amrun bima'roof, aw nahyun an munkar, aw dhikrullah. Amr bil-ma'roof, when we enjoin good, inspire others towards good, when we forbid evil, when we make an effort to stop evil, those words will be in our books of deeds, not misdeeds. And also, dhikrullah. And whenever we take Allah's name and make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, that is for us and not against us. So we should make sure that we learn to protect our tongues and think and make dua before we utter and before we speak. As it is said so beautifully, that verify before you amplify. Because many a time we're not even sure, and we just want to blab and utter, and in that we are dishonoring another human being, another Muslim. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. Another interesting hadith narrated to us by the daughter, another daughter of Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu. Famous hadith from Musnad Ahmad, wherein she said, we came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visiting him, and there was a container dripping with water, and the drops of water was being poured upon the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he was not well. He had humma, severe high fever. So he said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua, Allah will give you shifa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that certainly those who are tested most and they face the greatest challenges are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, and then the next stage of people, and then the next stage of people. So this hadith is narrated to us by the children of Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu, namely Fatima bintul Yaman radiallahu anha. Another hadith that comes to the ummah via the children of Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu is the hadith of Musnad Ahmad, wherein the daughter of Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu narrates Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lectured and mentioned to the woman, لا تحلين الذهب, preferably not use, do not use gold. Isn't silver sufficient? So in this hadith we learn that they should also rather preferably utilize silver instead of gold. Not that it's impermissible, but because of the repercussions of gold or the harms of gold and also the pride that it causes and so forth. As for the men, it is totally taboo, but for women it's preferable that they use something like silver and not gold. That is narrated by the children of Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu. Another daughter of Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu is Layla bintul Yaman. She's also known as Umm Salama. Umm Salama and Salama bin Thabit bin Waqsh. Umm Salama bin Thabit bin Waqsh. Remember that name, Thabit bin Waqsh. Another very interesting incident about Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu is what Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu narrates. He speaks about his absence in Badr. The reason why he was not there in Badr, he says, myself and my father were undertaking a journey when we were all of a sudden arrested by the Kuffar of Quraysh. And then they refused to release us. When we asked for our release, they said, we will not release you because you are on your way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we responded, we are en route to Medina Munawwara. So then they asked us, okay, if we release you all, will you all fight against us? So we said, we are going to Medina Munawwara. Anyway, then they released us. Because we said, okay, we won't fight against them. So we got released. And when we were arriving in Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing the departure towards Badr. And as they were departing, we came to him. فَأَخْبَرْنَاهُ الْخَبَرُ. We narrated the kar guzari, the report to him. That, O Nabi of Allah, can we join you? What do we do? We would love to join. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in sarifa. No, you all depart. You all would not come with us to Badr because you all gave your word. Nafi bi ahdihim. We fulfill our pledges. We stand by our words. We are loyal to our promises. Wa nasta'inu Allah alayhim. And we seek Allah's help against them. La ilaha illallah. What purity, what purity. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught that even fulfill your promise to a non-Muslim. When we think how Islam spread to the four corners of the world, when humanity saw the loyalty in Muslims, that a Muslim stands by his word, I beg one and all, even if we are meeting a lesser of a prophet, but we gave someone word that I'm going to be selling this item to you. Someone can offer us double or triple, but we gave the first individual our word. Yes, we made a little less profit, but we got Allah's barakat. وَنَسْتَعِينُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is how hidayat spreads, when we show akhlaq, the akhlaq of Islam, the akhlaq of Muslims, the couple of extra pennies that we put in our pockets, but we displeased Allah and we defamed the deen of Allah, that people think that this is the practice of Islam. Allah save us. Many a time we distance people from the deen of Allah because of our putrid character. Allah forgive us. Allah save us. Let's learn from Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, who directly learned from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why they didn't participate in Badr, because they gave their word. When came the expedition of Uhud, Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu with his relative Hazrat Thabit bin Waqsh radiallahu anhu, as we learned earlier, Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu's daughter Layla bintul Yaman was wedded to Hazrat Thabit bin Waqsh radiallahu anhu. Anyway, they both were elderly and they were placed in charge of guarding a rear fortress, and they were in charge of taking care of the woman and the children. So as the expedition, as the battle ensued, they together said to each other that we are both of such advanced age. We are here now, we are in Allah's way, we were appointed to do this task of guarding, but actually we were put here because the Muslims have taken pity on us. Why don't we also go in the path of Allah and we die in Allah's way? We don't have much of life left. And they both agreed, and they both went in Allah Ta'ala's way. We learn from here, yes, they were put in that post, but it wasn't enforced on them. They realized they were put there out of pity, that okay, y'all are participating, Allah reward y'all, y'all are here for barakah. Unlike if a person is placed on a very important errand or post, then it becomes impermissible to leave that designation or that post. Here they realized they were put there for blessings and barakah, and they wanted the actual barakah of participating in the expedition. So alhamdulillah, they went in Allah Ta'ala's way. And as they strove and they fought for Allah Ta'ala's path and for Allah Ta'ala's deen, wasn't long after that where Hazrat Thabit radiallahu anhu was struck by the mushrikeen and he became shaheed. As Hazrat Husayl, meaning Yaman radiallahu anhu, continued striving. But because he wasn't there at first and he then joined in, there was a confusion where some swords of the Muslimin struck him, and as they were going for him, not recognizing him, thinking him to be part of the mushrikeen, Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu called out, Abi, Abi, my father. But it was too late, where his father was already struck and he was killed already in front of his eyes. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was hurt by it, where he saw his father killed by the hands of Muslims in front of him. But Allahu Akbar, his love for his father was so special, but what he understood is that this was totally unintentional and he didn't want the Muslims to feel hurt. So he said, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. May Allah forgive you all. Allah is most merciful. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the speciality of Hazrat Hudhayfa, that what capability this young man has. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to give him the blood money for his father, because his father had fallen at Muslim hands, unintentionally though. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, no, I forgive whoever made this mistake, I forgive them. And the blood money, I contributed to the cause of deen and to the Muslims. And when this happened, Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu won himself a special place in the heart of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So certainly, so much of blessings he received through the barakah of his father. Yeah, now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became like that special fatherly figure to him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought him very, very close. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw what potential he had. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then utilized him more in the cause of deen, because definitely that is what benefits one, the more one strives for the cause of Allah ta'ala's deen. Something else we learn that's interesting that also took place from this incident, where Hazrat Thabit bin Waqsh radiyallahu anhu, who was with Hazrat Yaman radiyallahu anhu, he was elderly, he was also wedded to the daughter of Hazrat Yaman radiyallahu anhu. So the sister of Hazrat Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu, his sons were, among them were Amr and Salama ibn Thabit, the sons of Thabit bin Waqsh radiyallahu anhu. Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah mentions this Amr bin Thabit bin Waqsh radiyallahu anhu, saying that he is the famous Amr. Amr, who's the brother of Salama bin Thabit bin Waqsh, and they were relatives of the famous Sahabi Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr radiyallahu anhu. And this Amr is known as Usayrim. Now Usayrim is a famous Sahabi we learn about in the Seerah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous Sahabi who was not Muslim. He was among the last of the people of Medina Munawwara to embrace Islam. He was Usayrim radiyallahu anhu. He was Amr bin Thabit bin Waqsh. It was during Uhud, Allah put deen in his heart, iman in his heart, and he was so touched. He says, Muslims are striving in Allah's way, I must go help them for the cause of Allah Ta'ala. And he came rushing and he strove in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And in that he was wounded during the expedition of Uhud. And when the wounds afflicted him severely, he was on his deathbed. And when the Sahaba were looking for him, the men of the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe, and they find him there, fi akhiri ramaq, he was breathing his last. They said, Amr is here. He hadn't become Muslim before this. They asked him, Amr, you came here. The reason for your coming, was it just to help your people, or is it your inclination to Islam? He says, I came for Islam. Bal raghbatun fil Islam. I have raghbat in deen and Islam. That's why I have surrendered to Islam. And I strove in Allah's way. And this is what happened to me. And I am leaving this world. And he passed away. When they mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi said, "Innahu lamin ahlil jannah." He is a jannati. In one hadith, it's mentioned that this is that Sahabi who was guaranteed jannah without even performing salah. Meaning, he just embraced Islam that morning and he rushed, and the expedition was taking place and he participated. That's why the greatest muhaddith of this ummah, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would pose this question to his students in the form of a quiz to actually enhance their knowledge and recharge their energy and their intellect and their understanding of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he would pose, among the questions was this one: who is that Sahabi who was guaranteed jannat without even performing two rakats of salah? He would pose this question to them, and the answer that was expected was Amr bin Thabit bin Waqsh radiyallahu anhu, namely famously known as Usayrim radiyallahu anhu. Whilst mentioning this, how Allah Ta'ala gives a person hidayat, another very famous person who Allah gave hidayat to on that day of Uhud was Mukhayriq. He came from a Jewish background. He was Jew up till then. And then the Muslims were striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. What an impact it had on him. Hidayat came into his heart. He told his people, I'm becoming Muslim. And if I do leave this world, all my property, just give it to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He knows what to do with it. And he ran to the battlefield of Uhud, to the mountain of Uhud. And he participated. And he became shaheed on that day of Uhud. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best of the Yahud, those who left Judaism and embraced Islam, the best is Mukhayriq radiyallahu anhu. We learn one very, very important lesson here. The efforts of the people of Iman has an impact on their surroundings. When the people of Iman are striving for Allah's pleasure, making ibadat, worshipping Allah, those around them, those who they pass, are affected because of their intentions, because of their love, because of their compassion, because of their mercy. That's why we learn, even when we striving in Allah Ta'ala's way, our ulama teach us. Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Damat Barakatuhum would say so beautifully, Da'i jis raaste pe jayega, ummat ke fikr ke saath, Allah ke zikr ke saath, Allah Ta'ala batil ke atharat ko torega. That da'i, he will go in Allah's way with the dhikr of Allah, with the fikr for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala will destroy and eradicate the effects of the forces of batil. That movement for Allah's sake. The people of Haqq, the people of Allah, the people who are the lovers of Allah Ta'ala, their efforts have an impact on these surroundings. That's why we should bring more and more pious people into our homes, and we should take our children into the company of and in the environment of the pious people. Like we mentioned recently, Hazrat Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu, he says, my father used to take me to the majlis of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Samura bin Junada radiallahu anhu, he's taking his children. They must also hear what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. That will inspire them. That will affect them. That special nigah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will change their lives forever. This is what we learn. My respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this is how Sahaba did. Their efforts, that's why we learn wherever, in any environment or area where ijtima takes place. How many people get hidayat there? How many people's heart becomes softened towards deen and iman there? That's why we learn, bring people in the to the correct environment. Bring people to the environment of the masjid. Bring people to deen. Like this, they will get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, Allah, give us tawfiq. Something else we learn from Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu is, despite his old age, he still wanted to be part and parcel of the effort of deen. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not of those who looked for excuses for themselves. Many a time we don't want to do what is right. We don't want to strive for Allah's sake. We don't want to contribute. We don't want to do the right thing. So we find excuses to actually, the reason why we find excuses is to actually legalize our laziness. Allah forgive us for that. Allah Ta'ala knows our intentions. Allah knows what is in our hearts. Allah knows why we're doing what we are doing. Sahaba radiallahu anhum never looked for excuses. They wanted to be accepted for Allah's deen. Irrespective of whether sometimes the Sahabi radiallahu anhu was visually impaired, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu. Sometimes the Sahabi radiallahu anhu was chronically ill, Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. Sometimes the Sahabi radiallahu anhu was lame and crippled, Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu. Sometimes the Sahabi was of advanced age, Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Yaman bin Jabir, Hazrat Husayl bin Jabir radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Miqdad bin Amr al-Aswad radiallahu anhu. But never did they take excuses. Never did they look for loopholes not to strive for Allah's sake, for Allah's deen. Because they knew that we came to this world for the deen of Allah. We came to this world for the deen of Allah. The slogan of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, illa tuqtali tamuti. You're not going to die in Allah's way to uplift Allah's deen, to strive in Allah's way. Then you'll die an ordinary death at home. What a shame. This is the slogan of Sahaba. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was sad when he had to die on his bed. But obviously that was divine wisdom, that the sword of Allah cannot die in the battlefield. And then Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu would say, فَلَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَا. May the coward people's eyes never find rest in their homes. The eyes of the coward, may they not find rest. Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu was told by his children, you stay behind, you will still be rewarded. We are going. He says, how can my children go to Jannah and I stay behind? No, with my lame foot, I will go into Jannah. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, in irrespective of his age, he strove in the path of Allah and he went with the Sahaba, crossing the oceans, taking deen right to the Turkish regions of Constantinople, the lands of Constantinople, the center of Christendom. So that humanity gets hidayat, so that humanity sees the truth, so that humanity can get saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. Sahaba radiallahu anhum left no excuse. Allah give us tawfiq. That wherever we go, let's go with fikr. Whatever we do, let's have worry for humanity's hidayat. Let's make dua that, oh Allah, give them hidayat and give us hidayat. When we worry for hidayat, Allah Ta'ala will increase us in hidayat. Really, let's not take hidayat for granted. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah speaks about the friends of Allah in the Quran Kareem, those youngsters who are worried about their iman and their hidayat. Allah says, we fortified their hearts. Allah says, I have fortified their hearts and strengthened their hearts to say the right thing and do the right thing when they were in those situations. So we learn when we worry for our hidayat and iman, Allah Ta'ala's special help will come with us. Like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Ya Allah. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, the son of Hazrat Yaman radiallahu anhu, because of that father's guidance, how he would accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was an imam in one of the masjids in Medina Munawwara. One day his mother calls him, Hazrat Rabab radiallahu anha. His mother, Hazrat Rabab binti Ka'ab radiallahu anha. What a beautiful name. Hazrat Rabab radiallahu anha. She calls him, Hudhayfa, when last have you seen the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She knows how close was her son to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because especially when he lost his father, she was the wife of a shaheed. And her father, her son now, is very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But look at the mother's worry. My child, when last have you been in the company of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah give us tawfiq. What do we ask our children? Have you been to work today? How's your studies? Alhamdulillah. Questions that are permissible and important, but the most important questions. Even if my child travels somewhere, whether it be China, whether it be business, whether it be trade, that we ask our children, what did you do for Allah's deen day? Did you make sure you performed your salawat day? Did you make sure you stayed away from sin day, my child? How close was Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu to Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In this famous report of hadith, he says, radiallahu anhu, sallaytu ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhata layla. One night, I had the opportunity to perform tahajjud salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faftatah al-Baqarah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his tahajjud, Suratul Baqarah. Then as Allah's Nabi read, I performed behind him, enjoying his prayer. Faqultu, I thought to myself, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go into ruku' after 100 raka'ah, because I do have to return to my area and so forth. Yarka'u 'inda al-mi'ah. Allah's Nabi passed the 100 raka'at and he carried on reading further. Then I thought to myself, yusalli biha fi raka'ah. Probably Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read the entire Baqarah in one raka'ah. Allah's Nabi completed Baqarah and he continued with the next chapter. Faqultu yarka'u biha. I said, okay, no, the next chapter, which is after that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make ruku', but he continued. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the entire An-Nisa, the entire Al-Imran. يَقْرَأُ مُسْتَرْسِلًا Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read perfectly, slowly, with postures, with pauses, with deliberation, pondering. As he would pass a verse wherein Allah's glorification was mentioned, tasbih, Allah would be praised, he would ponder and take effect, sabbah, wa idha marra bi su'alin sa'al, as he would pass the verses of Quran where Allah's mercy is being sought, in that Allah's Nabi would ask, he would ask Allah's protection, wa idha marra bi ta'awudin ta'awwadh, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read so perfectly his salah. Allah give us tawfiq to increase our tahajjud, to increase our salah, to increase our tilawat. ثُمَّ رَكَعَ فَجَعَلَ يَقُولُ Then Allah's Nabi went into ruku' and he would say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمُ Perfect is Allah, my Rabb, who is the greatest. فَكَانَ رُكُوعُهُ نَحْوًا مِّنْ قِيَامِهِ Allah's Nabi's ruku' was long, just as his qiyam was long. Doesn't mean exactly as long as the qiyam was, but what it means is comparatively. Then Allah's Nabi said, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ Allah hears the one who praises him. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ O my Rab, O our Rab, For you is all praise. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدَ. Then in that qawma, that posture, before going into sajda, Allah's Nabi remained for a long while. قَامَ قِيَامًا طَوِيلًا قَرِيبًا مِمَّا رَكَعَ. It was approximately as long as his ruku'. And what beautiful du'as we should learn in that posture of salah. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِلْءَ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْءَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدُ أَهْلُ الثَّنَاءِ وَالْمَجْدِ أَحَقُّ مَا قَالَ الْعَبْدِ وَكُلُّنَا لَكَ عَبْدِ اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. So many beautiful du'as. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي مِلْءَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِلْءَ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْءَ مَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمِلْءَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدُ. In one report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one Sahabi read similar words, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who read those words? When Sahabi responded in the affirmative, Allah's Nabi said, I could see the malaika rushing to grab the blessings and the barakat of those praises of Allah, those praises that were recited in this posture of qawma. Then Allah's Nabi goes into sajda. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, pure and perfect is my Rabb. Rabbi, my Rabb. Al-A'la, the highest, Ya Allah. سبحان ربي الأعلى لنتي سجدا فكان سجوده قريبا من قيامه. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sajda was lengthy, lengthy. Allah give us tawfiq to enhance our sujood. Allah loves this posture. Every sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has wisdom in it, has benefit in it, in akhirat and in dunya, has success, peace, happiness, tranquility, prosperity, salvation, protection, shifa. Doctors are even saying today, and non-Muslim doctors are attesting to this fact, that in that posture of sajda is so beneficial, even against any virus, to strengthen the lungs, to strengthen the limbs. Even patients in that position of sicknesses, where they need to help the patient breathe, and enhance one's breathing, they actually put the patient in this posture of sajda. Allah's Nabi's every sunnah is so mubarak. The siwak has such benefits in it. The every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq. So this is how close Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He joined in the expeditions. He performed salah, not just faraid, but even on special occasions like this. That's why his mother is asking him, Oh Hudhayfa, Mata Ahduk, when were you by the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, Oh my beloved mother, Allah give us tawfiq to show love and compassion to our parents. Ya Ummah, sometime, couple of days have gone by. Mali bihi ahdun mundu kada wa kada. Farahat tu annibuhu wa tanalu minhu. She started reprimanding him. She started rebuking him. She was upset with him. She was upset with him. Why? Because a few days went by. Obviously, he's in the service of deen, teaching deen. But just a little while had gone by and he wasn't there by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His mother is upset. Subhanallah. This is because deen is priority. Sahaba radiallahu anhum knew that even their children are for deen. Hazrat Khansa radiallahu anha, when she lost her brothers before Iman, she couldn't bear it. After Iman, in one expedition, Al-Qadisiyah, where the people of Persia received the gift of Hidayat, where Sahaba took Islam to the lands of Persia, radiallahu anhum. Then, on one occasion, in one of those days, in the battle, during the battle of Qadisiyah, she lost her children. She lost her sons. And how she took it with such strength and iman. Not like before when she couldn't bear it when losing her brothers. But here now, When she had iman, she realized that this is what my children are for, to be given for humanity's hidayat, for Allah's pleasure, for Allah's deen, for my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah. So Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's ma, Rabab radiallahu anha, she was upset. Then she sends her son, go to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, yes ma, I'll go and I'll ask Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make istighfar for myself and yourself. In one report, he tells him to ask that. And then when he comes to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Maghrib Salah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the prayer and then remained in Nawafil prayers, and he continued. After Isha also, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued praying. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, out of respect, waited. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made munajat, spoke to Allah ta'ala, made dua, Allah give us tawfiq to make munajat, to beg Allah, to beseech Allah, to dialogue with our beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu follows Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears his movement. Allah's Nabi says, who's there? Is it Hudhayfa? He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what do you want? May Allah forgive you and your mother. Subhanallah. That's also miraculous. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him du'as even before he asked for his need. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat with him and heard from him and so forth. In one report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is this Hudhayfa? He said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, just now I was speaking to someone. Atadri man kana ma'i? Do you know who was with me? I said, no, O Nabi of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ جِبْرِيلْ جَاءَ يُبَشِّرُنِي. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to give me glad tidings, to give me this good news, أَنَّ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنِ سَيِّدَا شَبَابِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhuma are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. Then Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua of istighfar for me and for my mother. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا حُذَيْفَ وَلِأُمِّكَ. So how fortunate is Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and his father who was shaheed and his mother who received du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who made such tarbiyat of a child who served Allah's deen throughout his life. What ahadith he narrated to the ummah. He would always teach the ummah because he strove in Allah's path to the countries of the world. And he told the ummah, he would say, ask me what you want. I want to teach you. I want to guide you. I would ask Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about trying times and trying conditions and trying situations, what to do in every situation. A lot of the ahadith of fitan, wherein trials will come upon the ummah, Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu narrates and shares these solutions to the ummah. One famous hadith Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu shares with the ummah that he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from this is reported in At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah's kitab. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by that being in whose hand is my life, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. O my ummah, you will have to continue enjoining good. You will have to continue inviting others to good, not just doing good. Just doing good is not sufficient. I went to the masjid, I made tilawat, I made ibadat, yes. But Allah's Nabi is saying, you have to, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ, you have to continue like we do good, but enjoin good in others also. Bring good in others also, because they are also part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's no Nabi after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you will most definitely have to strive to stop evil and wrong in the ummah. And if we leave this amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, aw la yushikanna Allah, or else definitely soon a time will come, ay yab'atha alaykum adhaban min, Allah will send an adhab from him upon you. Then when you leave amr bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar, and then so much of sins come about, Allah's adab comes, then you'll make dua, فَتَدْعُونَهُ فَلَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ. Allah will never respond to you. Allah will never grant you your request and your need and never help you in that situation. So what we learn from here is when we make amr bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar, our du'as are also accepted. Under this hadith is a beautiful explanation to this hadith in a beautiful, amazing historical event that took place in our history in the year 478 in our Hijri calendar. Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya mentions a report that during the Khilafah and the reign of Al-Muqtadi bi Amrillah, there were pandemics and plagues so severe that diseases had spread so wide and was so widespread that people were dying in abundance and everything was tried, and still people were dying and there was no solution to that situation, until the Khalifa then ordered the scholars and the ulama and the people to go and make amar bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar. What is mentioned in this hadith? Make tajdeed al amri bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. To revive that work of inviting to good, encouraging others upon good, and stopping the ummah from evil, and encouraging the ummah and advocating strongly upon the ummah to leave sin and wrong. And when this took place, this harakah towards this movement towards this striving in Allah Ta'ala's way to enjoin good and bring deen alive, then alhamdulillah Allah Ta'ala alleviated this pandemic. All situations as well, Allah Ta'ala alleviate this challenge that we have. May Allah help us to continue serving and striving in Allah Ta'ala's way. Allah Ta'ala alleviate these challenges. Allah Ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and for our sins.